This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 of the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Tech Talk. Gaming, and it's something that I love to talk about, but never quite get the opportunity to do so often here on Tech Talk anymore. And of course, gaming has been on the rise since the start of the pandemic, as a lot of people had more time, and some of them had very little to do. And as the economy and society opens up, there's still growth in the gaming market, especially for casual games. In fact, some recent findings from the 2020 Global Games Market Report stated that 87% of the 20.1 million gamers in Malaysia, I knew I wasn't alone, spent at least some of their money on in-game virtual items in the past 6 months. Hyper-casual games and hybrid casual games are entertaining and interactive, low barrier entry, especially for us here in Malaysia. You only need a smartphone. And seeing this opportunity, industry veteran Daryl Lau started Mason Games. I have him on the phone with me to talk about all of that stuff right now. Daryl Lau, CEO and founder of Mason Games, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Richard. Thanks for having me. I just want to say, as a hardcore fan of BFM, it's quite a surreal experience to be here with you.
good. Now, Daryl,
yes,
gaming is something that, you know, for me, it was part of my childhood, it was part of my teenage years, it was part of my formative years. I'm now well into my 40s, and it's still a part of who I am. You know, it helps to define who I am. It started out as role-playing games, and then I moved into, you know, I had an Atari, and one thing or another. Where for you did the love of games start? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, ever since I was very young, I think in Penang, I'm born and bred in Penang, and you know, the gaming arcade scene, rather back then, it was very prevalent, and I was flocking every single time I could the opportunity to go there, and obviously my parent was not too happy about it as well, but my love for gaming cultivated since then, and of course, with technology changes and all that through the years, through the decades as well, you know, games became even more immersive, even more engrossing as they are today. So it's cool to be part of the whole industry now. But back then, I was just dreaming about it playing games, enjoying it, because it does bring us to a place whereby, you know, our lives is not thereabouts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's quite cool.
When was that transition from just dreaming about getting involved with games and actually getting involved with games?
About 12 years back, I joined a retail and distribution company in the gaming world, whereby they distribute across the world. And I remember going for the interview back then, and I was like, my God, I really wish I'll get this job, because it's like a dream come true. And luckily I did, and I served them for 11 years plus, and I left them early this year and to start Mason Games.
Great. Right. Now, talk me through a little bit about Mason Games then. What platforms is Mason Games developing for in particular?
Okay, currently, well, we are for the remainder of the year at least, we are developing exclusively for the Google Play Store, and we will be exploring Apple App Store next year onwards. It's because, in terms of why this strategy is, because Apple App Store is a far more stringent platform, and we wanted to make sure that we get all our, you know, ducks in a row in Google Play Store, getting all our processes and our flows right before we embark on that in the Apple App Store. But by 2023 onwards, we hope to explore the other app stores such as Samsung, Tencent, Xiaomi, just to name a few, which they do require different strategies, but they also present new opportunities for us. So those are ones we are looking forward to.
Tell me a little bit about what the difference is between, you know, developing for Apple and for Google. You say that the rules are a little bit more stringent.
Yes.
Can you kind of explain that a little bit for me?
Sure. Of course, because both of them being very prominent platforms in terms of domination of the mobile gaming world. But both of them are very, very different ecosystems as well. So in terms of the Apple App Store, being Apple, so they are far more stringent in terms of their application, their submission process and things like that, and the guidelines that they have. So it's definitely much more stringent over there rather than Google Play. Google Play is like a playground. So we can really test a lot of things there and make a lot of mistakes, for example, before we go into Apple App Store.
Mm. I mean, I'm going to kind of ask you to speak a little bit, I guess, on behalf of your developers as well.
Sure.
Do you think that they find it easier to develop for one platform over another?
I wouldn't say so, because most of the games, even right now that we have, most of them, we have the Apple App Store equivalent ready. It's just that we're not publishing it on Apple App Store just yet. Not really, yes.
Mm. So currently, the ones that I've seen recently that Mason have done, Scoopy the Ice Cream Adventure.
Yep,
and
correct.
The wonderfully titled Math Cat Boxing, even without knowing what that is, that made me want to know more about it. So can you tell me a little bit about when you first started Mason Games? How did you go about raising the funds and convincing people, I want to open a video game company?
Yep. I think when I left my previous company, I was looking for ways to, I wanted to go into the casual gaming world because I've been part of a lot of the conferences in the past. I was a judge in a few of them. I was privileged to be in that position. And I've met a lot of wonderful people. So there's one guy in particular that I met, and his name is Tran, and he's based in Vietnam, that I spoke to him after leaving my previous company, and I was saying, hey, why don't we embark on something, for hyper-casual games, and I can come up with the ideas, and you do handle the programming and things like that. So it was fairly casual, but eventually we started a few games, and then a few of my friends saw that what I was doing, and then I was introduced to MOG Holdings Limited, actually, who is our investor right now. And then we spoke to them about our plans and so on and so forth, and they said, especially during the pandemic, they wanted to go into explore in terms of investment into other non-pandemic or pandemic-proof businesses, rather. And we were one of them. So we're very lucky and that we have them on board with us right now, and we are part of their group. And so basically, that's how I got the funding initially. And I built a team around that once they came in. And here we are today.
I remember not too long ago, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, when Flappy Bird first came out, I think it was.
Yes.
And that was like the epitome of a kind of hyper-casual game at the time, What do you think the ongoing appeal of hyper-casual games is? What do you think is the appeal of it? Is it just the fact that you can pick up your phone, you can play for 2 minutes or 10 minutes and then just put it down? Is that the ongoing appeal of it?
The accessibility is the primary, I would say, the attractiveness of it. I would say you can, and also most hyper-casual games are very, very small in size, especially, and the requirements is not very high in terms of, for your mobile phone specs, which is great, because then you can just download it and try it out, and if you see if you like the gameplay, you like how the environment or the art design and things like that. And if you do, then go ahead and enjoy those games, wherever you may be. So it's very, very accessible, and you can really pick it up. And the fundamentals of hyper-casual games is about simplicity. It's so easy to play. Again, case in point, Flappy Bird, which technically started this whole craze back in those days. And then and here we are today. Of course, hyper-casual games is evolving, and it's slightly more engaging now than before. So there are more elements to it to keep the players engaged.
Just before we take a break, Daryl, I'm looking at an image now of Scoopy. Would you say then that Mason Games has like a design ethos, a particular look?
Oh, I would say yes, in a way. I think our head of creative, her name is Chiappe. I think she's amazing. We have a whole team built around her. And then A lot of our themes, again, is more towards Asian culture and so on and so forth. And we would love to bring that into, in terms of the art design as well. So I think a lot of games, especially the newest game that we launched, in fact, was just yesterday, Skill and Sword, is very, very prominent in terms of the art direction in that sense.
Skew and Sword.
Correct.
I'm going to have a look at that in a few moments. Right,
sure.
We need to take a break here, Daryl. You're tuned in to Tech Talk here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I am speaking with Daryl Lau. Is that correct, Daryl? It is, right? Yes. Let me just double check that. Yes. Daryl Lau, he is the CEO and co-founder of Mason Games. They are a Malaysian game developer and publisher. They've officially launched in the market with two hyper-casual titles. The latest was Scoopy, the ice cream adventure. The other one was Math Cat Boxing. And you've just heard, Daryl, they launched another one just recently. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Big Friendly Matcha. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Tech Talk. I'm on the phone with Daryl Lau. He is the CEO and co-founder of Mason Games. They are a Malaysian game developer that creates Asian-inspired hyper-casual games for the Asian market. That's something I want to address in just a few minutes, Daryl, about the idea of, you know, you've been Asian-influenced, creating for a Southeast Asian market. Do you think that there is a perception that Southeast Asian games, or even some Asian games, are of a different quality compared to other areas of the world? And how do you combat that if there is this perception?
I do not really think so, because actually majority of the talents in Malaysia, especially within this region, even in Vietnam and Indonesia, is very, very strong. A lot of the big studios in the US, they do a lot of outsourcing here in Malaysia. This is quite well known. And even Sony studios is here in Malaysia as well. PlayStation, Konami, they are all here. So it speaks volumes in terms of what's available in terms of talents here. It's just that because the IP or the games that has been developed is obviously conceptualized over there, and hence majority of the gaming world will think that actually that game is originated from, for example, the United States. So
yes.
Yeah, so even in the hyper casual world, a lot of the top popular games are created by the studios in Europe especially. So we enjoy a lot of those games ourselves. But we felt that, why can't we represent Asia within those games? Because, for example, there are a lot of, let's say, the fruit slicing game, or vegetable slicing game, which is now very popular. Why can't they introduce Asian types of vegetables or fruits into, for example, durians,
I would love to chop up some durian.
That's exactly right. So I think that representation is missing slightly, but that's where I think where Mason Games comes in, because we want to do that. And I think that will give us a very unique perspective into introducing Asian type of products or items to the Western worlds as well.
Right. See, that was where I was going to go next. I was going to talk to you about the idea of why you thought there's a need for Asian-inspired games. Is that what you think it is?
Yeah. I mean, to me, one of the games that we are currently in the projects that's in progress right now is, for example, inspired by Wayang Kulit. So lighting, a play of lights, so to speak. So those are the things that we want to develop, because I think a player, for example, in Bulgaria will be able to enjoy the game, but also be able to say, no, this is so cool, to learn more about Wayang Kulit and so on and so forth. So those are the things that we really wish to do. And we feel that it's extremely lacking right now in the Play Store, both Play Store for that matter. And we hope we can do that and do that well.
Can you talk to me about some of the challenges you guys face while you're producing these games?
Sure. I think the number one would be actually from a developer's perspective is the different iteration that we go through. And sometimes as we build along these games, new ideas comes along and they will have to probably go back to the drawing board to tweak some of the mechanics to accommodate these new ideas. And those are the things that the challenges we face on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, because also, you know, as a company, currently we have 10 of us. You know, sometimes we have clash of minds in terms of how we come up with ideas and so on and so forth. And but at the end of the day, we also want to come up with a game that you know, everyone can enjoy, right? And right. Especially irrespective of where they may be. So
I mean, I imagine it must be kind of difficult as well, because you're all headed down the same road towards the same goal. But there must be a point where somebody has created something and they're like, this is so good, I really love this. And then somebody has to come out and speak out of turn and say, well, I don't know about that. You know, how difficult is it, I guess, to kind of kill your darling, so to speak, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Well, that one thing good about our industry, Happy Casual, is because we can produce the game quite fast and we can try it out fast as well. Now, one of the basic things that we've spoke about internally is that we would not, put any of our own take or spin into the decisions that we make. Is because games can be enjoyed by all kind of people as well. I might not like a platformer game, for example, but I love a puzzle game, right? Mm-hmm, but there are a lot of people who still love, you know, a platformer game, and vice versa. So once we build a game, and because it is a short cycle of a month, for example, that we build a game, some slightly longer than others. But overall, then we get to test the game in the market and see the response to that game. And we let the market tell us what to do with it. So over time in Mason Games, you might have probably 20 or two dozen games or so, but some will be better performing than the others. It's because that's how the market dictates that for us.
Do you have a particular type of favorite game, Daryl?
For myself, I play a lot of shooter. I play a lot of puzzles. Yeah, so those are the games. Especially as I mentioned just now, our latest game, Skew and Sword. I really love it because it's a puzzle. So I really enjoy it. And it's about food as well. So my God, so
it's
best
perfect
combo. Yeah, exactly. And I think that the team did a great job with that one.
Mm-mm. I just want to circle back to what we were talking about you know, the talent pool here in Malaysia. I mean, I know the talent pool here in Malaysia is excellent for game development, you know, and the reason I had to ask you that question anyway, just to kind of, highlight to other people that might be tuning in, not knowing that how good our talent pool is here for games. The question I have, though, is with that talent pool being as large and prolific as it is, how difficult is it for you guys to hire staff?
Well, yeah, that's a very good question. In terms of, because again, we're in hyper casual world, so the developers that we're looking for is basically more towards Unity. So, but a lot of the big boys are not looking for the same type of skill sets because they are producing larger games, AAA titles. So they have different requirements. So that being said, as well, currently there's not that many talent in the Unity world as well, so for us to pick from. Hence why one of our plans is to open up in Vietnam so that we can solve that for us. But within Malaysia, we have a lot of talents in terms of the creative facet of it all, and we have some amazing ones with us already today. So we hope to build more towards the creative aspects in Malaysia office, and the developer segment will be handled in Vietnam.
So if you are a Unity developer and you are listening to this show, find out about Daryl and send over your work. Let him have a look at it. Now, Daryl, final question. And it kind of, I don't know if it relates to hyper-casual games, and I suppose that's why I'm asking you this question. But we've spoken about AAA games, and we've spoken about those kind of developers and how hard they work. And you know, and you hear these horrible stories about crunch time and release dates and people working, 15, 16, 17-hour days. Does anything like that happen in the hyper-casual world? You know, do you talk about crunch time and stuff like that?
Yes, we do in a way, but it's more on project basis. I think the crunch culture rather is definitely an issue, especially in the video games industry. But in the hyper-casual industry, I think it's very subjective because it's much more freer, and because we are producing in terms of in a much shorter span, like a month or two, and so that we have more flexibility for us to produce, you know, and to emphasize a little bit more on creativity and so on and so forth. And also because I think the more importantly, we are building for ourselves. We are not an outsourcing studio, so to speak. So that gives us a lot of freedom to dictate our timelines.
Mm. Daryl, thank you very much for your time today. Wonderful, wonderful chat.
Likewise, Richard. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. That was Daryl Lau. He is the CEO and co-founder of Mason Games, a studio founded by the local gaming industry veterans to fill a gap in the market when it comes to Asian-inspired or themed games. It launched two titles, including their latest Scoopy, the Ice Cream Adventure, and of course, the other one that I love the name of, Mat Cat Boxing. And what was the other one?
Skew and Sort.
Skew and Sort. Head over to the Google Play Store and check that out. Thank you very much for your time again, Daryl. My name is Rich Bradbury. This has been Tech Talk here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.